The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, is LeBron James the best leader in the NBA? Plus, D'Angelo Hall weighs in on Brett Favre hyping up Baker Mayfield. And is Deshaun Watson a more promising quarterback than Dak Prescott? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
So NBA.com released their annual survey of all the league's GMs yesterday, and LeBron was voted the best leader in the sport. 30% of GMs voted for the king, just ahead of Chris Paul and Steph Curry. Shannon, you're first. Do you agree?
Absolutely agree. I'm trying to figure out what KD was. Is he in the NBA still?
He is.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out the most clutch guy. The best player in the NBA is not a great leader. 29 people don't think Kevin Durant is a leader. 29 of the 30 general managers, because, you know, Bob Myers, he couldn't vote for his own guy.
True.
What about 11 guys in Golden State?
Whoa, Skip. Jenny, did you ask me a question?
I did.
I did not give a rhetorical question to Skip Bayless. I was just talking, and he interrupted me again.
Just scoot on over
can
there.
You ask, okay. Can you ask Skip to not interrupt me?
I can't scoot any farther.
Of course I do, Skip. We know he's a great leader. What makes him a great leader? He leads by example. They see the man show up 90 minutes before practice. They see the dedication and the discipline, what he does, how he eats, how he trains. You don't be on the top of the mountain this long. Without being dedicated, without being determined, without being disciplined. And they see this. They see how he, what he does during the game. Skip. Sometimes it's the subtle thing. Sometimes you got to yell at a guy. Sometimes you got to pat a guy on the back. Sometimes you got to kick him in the butt. And I think that's what makes great leaders, is that knowing your personnel, knowing what and who you need to talk to in what way. Look at what he does. He goes to Miami, embraces the community, guys follow. Goes back to Cleveland. For the most part, you know, hey, you always going to have a few stragglers. Jenny, that don't find, you know, he makes me sick. I really can't wait to get out of here, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you know.
Straggler like Kyrie.
Look, everybody isn't going to like you, like your leadership style or the way you conduct yourself. Okay, we understand that, Skip. But 29 people judging from a distance, 29 of them out of 30. So you know what? That's the best leader.
Really?
The best.
They in that that's Cleveland locker room
that's
last
a,
year?
That's another category in which he got number one, and Kevin Durant got number nothing. Oh, is that a thing? Can I say another nothing? That's what he got, Skip, a nothing burger. He got zero votes. You know why? Because no one will ever think you're a leader if you go join the two-time MVP and a team that won 73 games before you got there. Nobody. Now, is he great? Yes. If I couldn't have LeBron James, give me Kevin Durant. I'll take him over everybody.
So, I'm wondering if these GMs were voting about leadership off the court, like out in the community, because I'll give you that. He's by far the best leader. He might be the greatest leader in the history of sports, at least in the NBA. But I thought this was like on the court, like basketball leadership, like in the locker room, right? In the sideline huddle kind of leadership, that kind. he's disqualified for me. I don't know how many times LeBron has lost it after games and gone into, I just don't have enough help. I don't have enough help. Is that leadership?
He said he didn't have enough help and stayed. Mm-hmm. One guy didn't have enough, didn't say anything and left. Is that a leader?
Remember that rant he went on after that loss at New Orleans 2 years ago? And he said, we are top heavy as you know what.
And they were.
Right? And he says, it's me and Kyrie and Kevin, and we need a bleeping playmaker. Yeah. He said that. What do you think the rest of that team thought of that quote? What do you think that said to the JRs and the Channing Frys and the all the other players right down the line? Kyle Korvers. What do you think they thought of that?
The same thing.
We need help. We need a playmaker.
The same thing Thunder thought when he left and went to Golden State. What was Russell thinking?
Okay,
what did they think?
This is about LeBron James, who's the runaway best leader in basketball. That's the guy?
Yeah.
Is that leadership? Yeah. Is that what Shannon Sharpe, a great leader,
don't bring me to the equation.
You're the one who's advocating LeBron is the best leader.
No, they did it.
Oh, okay.
You said it yesterday, too.
I'm not advocating. I am disqualifying.
Okay, what are we going to do about Kevin Durant?
Okay, we're not. This isn't about Kevin Durant. This is about LeBron James.
But you got to have it compared against somebody. Who you want? Well, who should be number one then if it's not him?
And the ultimate opposite of leadership I have ever witnessed in all my years of covering the National Basketball Association occurred at the end of last year's Game 1 of the Finals when everything went wrong, and it started with LeBron not taking the last shot. George Hill missed a free throw. JR lost his mind, as he's done many times before. And LeBron James, if we could please see that, goes over to his own bench and sits apart from his teammates and melts down. He melts down.
He didn't melt nothing.
He melted down. There's a seat in between. He's saying, look at this, head and hands, I cannot associate with this
that
mess
what he said.
To my left.
First of all, Skip, you know how it is. You've been running up
and down. Time out. The game is tied. You have exactly what you would have wanted in the pregame locker room.
No, we had the game.
It is. You're tied. The game is starting over. You have 5 minutes to steal game one, and you should have stolen it in regulation because your leader didn't take the last shot. That was where it all started to unravel. But the point is, you rally the troops. If you're the best leader in this sport, you gather everybody together and say, look, we're good. We got this. We got them on the run. We got them on the ropes. Let's go after them the way we've been going after them for the first four quarters of this game, because they are reeling. They're on their heels.
No, they weren't
and
reeling.
Instead,
we were reeling.
He went into a pout. He wouldn't even shoot the basketball for the first 2.5 minutes of overtime.
No, Skip.
And his team is like, okay, we give up.
Golden State,
we give
Golden
up.
Golden State has seized all the momentum.
It's over. You're disqualified.
You're right.
I've never seen anything like that.
Skip.
Because the great ones don't do that. They just don't.
The great ones have never had a teammate make a bonehead play like that in a moment like that.
Did that lose the game? Did it?
It didn't.
Is the game over? No. The truth is, the game is just starting.
No, it's not.
And plus, your quote-unquote leader has the hottest hand from distance I've ever seen him have in a playoff game. He had made 7 of 14 shots outside the paint. Highly uncharacteristic for LeBron James. Carry it on. Go on. Attack. Just you got them on the ropes.
No, you didn't.
Finish them.
No, you didn't have them on the ropes. You
yes,
let them off the ropes.
Okay.
You let them off the ropes because you had an opportunity.
When you melt down and pout, then you.
If I would have told LeBron, one of your teammates in a tie ball game will have the basketball 4 feet from the basket with 3 seconds on the clock, he would have taken that because he says, okay, it doesn't matter. We're going to get a shot up. He didn't expect the teammate to be 4 feet from the basket, dribble out 30 feet from the basket, and then pass the ball as the time goes off the clock.
If you're the best player on the planet, you just shoot it. Do or die, sink or swim.
No.
Make it or don't. That's what that shot would have been. It would have been like a 17-foot jump shot for all the marbles.
If
you win game one, boy, you are off to the races.
He is a great leader. His teammates, for the most part, more teammates like him than don't. You look at what he's been able to do in different locker rooms, how he rallies the troops, from the purchasing of the Tom Brown suits to the headphones to this and to that. Mm. Everybody, you know it, Skip Bayless. At some point in time, just admit it. It's okay. It's okay.
What did we see in this offseason? He joins a new team with all new teammates. He has not played with one of these players ever before. Did he show up at the facility every day to get to learn the games of the kids and the cast-offs who joined him in Los Angeles? Nope. He wasn't there.
So if you don't mind me asking, every player that transfers teams that haven't played with a player before, do they play pickup games in the offseason? You judging off what Chris Paul and James Harden
do
did.
And that was impressive. And it translated right into the regular season.
To get knocked out in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, translating all the way until Chris Paul pulled his hamstring, and that was the end of them. Did they not have Golden State on the ropes?
Well, maybe if he hadn't had all the extra time, he'd have had some hamstring. Maybe put too much out there.
Oh, okay, put too much out there. And then it came all the way down to leadership. So after the first preseason game, LeBron helicopters solo back to L.A.? That's not leadership.
Okay, well,
you just stay with your team.
Why?
It's a bonding experience.
Jordan didn't stay with his team.
Just fly back.
Jordan was in the casino.
He'd already played with these guys for years. This is all new.
No, don't make excuses, Skip.
No, that's not an excuse. It's just not leadership.
Yes, it is. So what was Brian buying the suits? What about the beats? What about all the gear that he's given them throughout the NBA Finals, be it Miami, be it Cleveland? Mm-hmm. What's that about?
By the way, in Miami, the leader of that team, you know it and I know it, was Dwayne Wade.
Okay, if that makes you happy, go ahead and say that.
Well, it doesn't make me happy. It's just the truth.
But I'm just asking you a question. He's not a leader. He's not a good teammate. Mm-hmm. Why does he continuously buy all those gifts for his teammates?
I don't know. Whatever. That's just PR to me. I don't know. So everybody can't win.
That's fine.
He can't win then.
Under your scenario, because you said it's PR. So everything he does.
Is that how you become a leader? You know, and I know that's not how you can't buy leadership.
Oh, so showing up early, leaving late.
You have to earn leadership.
Well, if LeBron James hadn't earned leadership, there is no leaders in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I can assure you of that.
Well, and I can tell you this, to finish this up about Kevin Durant, he is the quiet force leader of the Golden State
Kevin
Warriors.
Durant told you he didn't want to be a leader.
Really? I don't remember that.
Well, I read you
this Iggy quote from back.
No. We ain't talking about what Iggy said about him. I'm telling you what Kevin Durant said out of his mouth.
He talked about how unstoppable Kevin Durant is, and he said when we see that look in his face, it carries over to the rest of the guys. That's leadership.
That's what Iggy said about him. Yeah. I'm telling you what Kevin Durant said out of his mouth. I'll get the quote for you. When we come back, I have the quote.
Then that disqualifies
him. Why do you mean it disqualifies it?
Yeah.
Because you know he said it.
LeBron James is the opposite of
LeBron
leadership.
LeBron James, see, again, 8-1. Therefore, best player. Best player, Skip. I'm sorry. I wish it was something I could tell you to make you feel better.
Well, I feel pretty good about Kevin Durant bearing LeBron in the clutch category. Because that's the truth. 40% to 17%.
Well, Nick Foles is more clutch than Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
Buried him because your guy gave it up.
No player in the history of sports has been more clutch on the biggest stages than Tom Brady.
Talking about the last game we remember.
Even more clutch is Tom Brady than Michael Jeffrey.
Did he give it up?
No.
Did he give it up?
He threw for 505.
Well, we don't do stats. Stats are unimportant when you don't win. Because remember, LeBron had 51-8-8, and they lost. So we don't do stats when they lose.
Somebody just lost a debate.
Oh, no.
Reaching.
Tom gave it up. Nick Rowe.
No more Tom Brady. No more Michael Jordan. No more LeBron. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here, and before the show moves along, I wanted to talk to you about ZipRecruiter. There are job sites that send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through. That's not smart. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, Undisputed listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed. That's ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/undisputed. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. A big showdown in the NFL. The Cowboys visit the Texans Sunday night in a matchup of two promising young QBs. Both Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson had incredible rookie seasons, but since then, they've both struggled to live up to the hype. Dak threw for over 200 yards last week for the first time since last season, while Watson is off to a 1-3 start, has turned the ball over 5 times in 4 games. Shannon, who's better, Dak or Deshaun?
I would take Deshaun right now, and probably for the foreseeable future. Deshaun averages 268 yards passing a game. Dak is 215. That number, if you were to factor in this season, Deshaun's over 300 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
Dak's under 200.
Yes.
This is what I didn't know. Deshaun Watson almost outrushes him per game by 2-1. It's 39 rush yards per game to 20. I didn't know it was that big of a gap, Skip.
Whose fault is that? How about my play caller's fault?
Well, does it see?
Well, you brought it up. I'm just saying. What do I pound the table for every week?
Yeah. I just believe.
Run him.
True.
I just believe seeing Deshaun play. He grew up about 30 miles from where, I lived in Gainesville, Georgia.
Yep.
Maybe 40. He's a better thrower of the football than Dak Prescott. Dak has a better running game, better offensive line. I just think in a passing league, the better passer probably is going to be the better of the quarterback. And because I think Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback, throwing the ball from the pocket, throwing the ball on the move, I would take Deshaun Watson over Dak Prescott as my quarterback.
So, this is almost an impossible question for me because you know how much I love both of these.
You do.
And I was on the record ahead of a year ago's draft. The Cleveland Browns are going to make a huge mistake if they don't take Deshaun Watson. And I still think they made a huge mistake as much as I like Baker Mayfield. But Deshaun Watson showed us in back-to-back national championship games
what
he is made of.
Tell the truth why you really like him, Skip.
Because he ain't nicked St. Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
He did. He put it on it, man. Because he threw for 405 in the first game that they lost, but it was four touchdowns. In that game, he ran 20 times for 73 yards. That's pretty good against St. Nick's defense. And then in the one that they won, he threw for 420 yards, three touchdowns, and ran it for 43 more yards. But the point is, that was just playmaking supreme. That was just poise and confidence and whatever that intangible, that's a winning intangible that you have. Now, what did Deshaun do at Clemson that neither one of us liked? He threw a whole bunch of interceptions because in those last two years when he was a starter at Clemson, he went 13 and 17 interceptions, and that combined, those 30 interceptions led Division I for those 2 years. Not a good sign, not a good predictor of NFL success. Am I right?
Yes.
So what have we seen so far in the NFL? He throws interceptions. He's 26 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, while Dak has been much better on the interception front. But if you just look at the overall, Dak's 49-19 in touchdowns, interceptions, and he's had a couple rocky stretches here of late because he didn't have any weapons. But who's the more successful starter so far? Just the winner? Well, Dak's 24-12 as a starter. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so far, Deshaun is 4-6 as a starter, and Deshaun got hurt. And the one thing I like about Dak is, he's a bull, man. He's 6'2". What do you say? I think he's 250, but he says
they list him at 229.
Oh, do they? I thought it was 238. That's what I saw today. But whatever.
We'll give him 240. We'll split the difference.
He is a big, strong man, and he can take a beating, and he can also dish it as well as he can take it. So the point is, I think on durability, I'm going to take Dak. So overall, I disagree with you on throwing the football. I don't think Deshaun's a better thrower of the football than Dak Prescott. Dak's got a little stronger arm, and I think he's very accurate. But look at weapons. Look, you ever heard of DeAndre Hopkins? You think he's any good? Well, Deshaun has benefited from having a DeAndre. Dak does not have a DeAndre.
Well, he had a Dez.
Oh, did he? That was a liability last
year. Whoa, I'm just telling
you. Maybe as a rookie, he was pretty good.
Well, it's hard for Deshaun to throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins when he doesn't have an offensive line because he's constantly on the move.
Okay. And I'll give you this. He is quicker and faster than Dak. I don't know if he's a more effective runner because they just don't let Dak run it enough. But keep him going down those weapons. Will Fuller, is he better than any other wide receiver?
You stay hurt.
Okay, but is he good? He's really good. And did you see that Kiki Cutie, Texas Tech kid?
That was impressive.
He caught 55 balls from Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago, but against Andrew Luck and company up in Indy the other day, that was the first game he's been healthy. He's a fourth-round rookie pick.
Right.
Deshaun targeted him 15 times, and he caught 11 balls for 109 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas doesn't have that. There's nobody. I got Measley Beasley, but that's about all I got.
Well, that's my point.
Okay.
Yep. That's why I say this should be a running team because you haven't given the weapons to Dak to to make sure he succeeds. Yep. Deshaun has weapons, and I believe that Deshaun is a better natural thrower of the ball, mm-hmm. considering he threw the ball a lot more in college as opposed to Dak. Dak was more of a zone read at Mississippi State. So that's why I'm going to give him a slight nod right now. Maybe we overvalued Deshaun because, you know, he played those great games. He went up there and he dueled with Tom Brady in New England. He lost on the last second throw. He went to Seattle and then threw for over 400 yards. Did. Like, wow. This league is hard. This league catches up with Patrick Mahomes syndrome.
Yeah. It's like, wait and watch a little bit more, right?
Like you did with Dak.
Okay.
Oh, his season. You're like, whoa, you put him in the Hall of Fame. You took his whole uniform. Put his whole uniform up to Canton. Mm-hmm. It's in the Hall of Fame now.
It was the greatest rookie quarterback season ever. You can't find one better. You just can't because not that many get a chance to start as a rookie. And nobody can go 13-3. What was he, 23-4 touchdowns, interceptions?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Led the league in QBR most of the year until the very
last.
He led it until the last game, and it was a giveaway game because they had already wrapped up the division. So he goes out at Philadelphia and stinks it up
what
a little
good
bit.
Is who, we've seen – you watch track and field, especially during the Olympics. Mm. It doesn't matter. He races. It doesn't matter who crosses the finish line first. That's how we measure winners.
Yeah.
Who crosses the finish line?
Okay, so as a rookie, finished third in QBR after leading for, what is it?
We don't do participation.
Weeks. Oh, okay.
Nah, we don't do it. Now, Skip, I keep telling you this. Mm. You don't win the bronze medal.
Mm.
You lose the gold medal.
What if the last game had had stakes attached to it? He would have won the QBR.
We don't know that. Mm. Skip, we can't say that.
Yes, we can.
Well, what if JR would have turned around and put the ball in the basket?
What if LeBron had taken the shot and made it? Would you not have been in heaven?
No.
You would have been in LeBron heaven.
Did you
see what he did? He finally made a walk-off that mattered because they were down one.
We've seen him hit the walk-off.
Huh?
Against Indy. It mattered.
Tied.
Against don't do that.
Tied.
Don't do that, Skip.
Tied.
You ought to be
safety net, safety net, safety net.
Like Kyrie's was a safety net. They were tied.
Okay. I'll give you that. But nobody could make a shot. And all of a sudden he said, okay, I'm done with this. Watch this.
No. We're not going to do that. Nobody can make a shot. Because India had a mile of the comeback. Couldn't nobody make a shot. Mm. Bron said, give me the ball. Mm. Pull up from 30.
Mm.
Yakup. Drive. Hey, Ty Lue said, hey, Bron, I want you to take this ball at the end of the court. Bron said, I got you.
That was a good move by Ty Lue. Of course, he's being guarded by a rookie.
Everybody.
A rookie.
LeBron put that thing, hit it with the crossover like this, and put it in the left hand.
Yeah.
Hug up there. Skip, this for you.
Did he? I'm going to call glass. No, glam. I'm not. I'm too far behind the basket. The last second, I can't shoot it off the glass. I got to shoot it straight. Oh, I accidentally kissed it in.
Did you see the game the other night?
Yeah.
His first shot that he made.
He did one of those. Yeah. From like 4 feet as opposed to.
But that's his shot.
15
feet. That's his shot, Skip.
Yeah. The running one-hander.
Off the glass with a kiss.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't behind the basket the other night, but that's okay.
Skip, at some point, you know what? Just go to the game. See, I think because what happened is that you've seen Michael play. If you were just to go out one time and see LeBron, everything will crystallize for you. You could see it.
I watch him every night. I watch every dribble every night.
You in this purple haze, bro. Stay out my dressing room.
We could do a field trip to a Laker game.
A field trip.
What do you guys think?
I like it.
I can organize.
I like it.
I know someone would.
I like it, Skip.
Could you break your rules?
It would hurt my profile, but.
Oh, hurt your profile? Jeez, all right, never mind.
No mercy.
Well, Brady can make some history tonight against the Colts. The 41-year-old needs 3 TD passes to join the 500 touchdown club. And on Monday night, Drew Brees can also join the club. He's 4 TD passes away. Brady is in his 19th season. Brees is in his 18th. And right now, Peyton Manning and Brett Favre are the only QBs in history with 500 touchdown passes. We are joined by Fox NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I am going to start with Skip on this one. I went to Shannon first last time. So, which
QB?
I'm
in good graces today, right?
Somehow. Yeah. Still, I don't know.
I don't know either, Jenny.
What do you think, Skip? Which quarterback has been more impressive on their way to 500?
This isn't even close to the point that I think this question is offensive to Tom Brady because he shouldn't be put in the same sentence with Drew Brees, who has attempted 515 more passes than Tom Brady has. 515 more chances to throw touchdown passes. Meanwhile, he has thrown 64 more interceptions than Tom Brady. So just on the surface of those two stats, obviously Tom Brady's almost 500 touchdown passes, far more impressive than Drew Brees's. Meanwhile, Drew Brees has had the huge advantage of getting to play for a Sean Payton, who's obviously a gopher broke, throw it all over the lot, play-calling head coach, while Tom Brady has often been stuck with an old-school, defensive-minded Bill Belichick, who often takes the ball out of Tom Brady's hands and puts it in the running back's hands, because we know a lot of games he just says, okay, you can't stop the run. We are going to run it all game long and run it down your throat. So I would say that's huge advantage Drew Brees on touchdown passes over Tom Brady. I just dropped the mic.
That was it.
Over.
I don't disagree with you at all. Here's the deal. They're both incredibly impressive.
And they are.
Obviously, Sean Payton is a guy that when you go back through the history, Sean Payton will have a team. When they won the Super Bowl, I think they were the fifth rated or sixth rated running team. So they will run the ball, but there are more shots designed in that offense. And I think for the most part, you've had more prominent wide receiving core. I think there's two types of teams that play in the NFL. The type that Shannon and I played on, which is we're going to do what we do. We're going to run the ball down your throat. I don't care what defense you get in. We're not going to vary in our running game off these six plays that we run. That's what we do. Tom Brady comes from an organization that says we're going to try to make you play left-handed. So we're going to look at what your weakness is. And this week, it may not be throwing the ball. Yep. It may be your inability to defend the run, or it may be the underneath passing game, whatever the case may be. Look at last week. You had Sony Michel get 25 carries over 100 yards, and you had James White leading your team in receptions. So that's who they are. There are two types of teams. Like I said, the teams that run what they run, that's New Orleans to me. And then there's the New England who try to expose your weaknesses. That is why, other than having Randy Moss for a couple of years, Tom Brady's done it with a plethora of good players, but no superstars on the outside, so to speak. That's why, for me, it's more impressive that Tom Brady's got a chance to hit 500 TD passes.
A second mic just got dropped, Jordan, on your head.
But what if I told you that Tom Brady's had more Pro Bowl receivers than Drew Brees? Would you have believed that? No. Michael Thomas. Last year was the first year Drew Brees had a Pro Bowl wide receiver. That was Michael Thomas in his rookie season.
So he's had, what, Gronk? 3-4 times, and Wes Welker 5 times.
Wes Welker went 5 times. Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Randy Moss once.
So where is Michael Thomas going to rank in reference to?
To who?
Randy.
To Wes Welker? He'll have more catches than
Michael
Wes
Thomas in reference to Randy Moss.
Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And Gronk. What's Gronk? And you told me, you remember, Skip, I remember we had this conversation. Stink, you weren't there at the time. I think it was like 2 years ago. We were in Houston, and Skip Bayless, we did a topic.
Okay.
Skip Bayless told me that Julian Edelman was more valuable to the Patriots than Julio Jones was to the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Tom Brady. I just showed you the stats
who did Edelman
year.
Play for?
Yeah.
Oh, so Tom Brady's throwing to him, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How many more third down catches did Edelman have that year than Julio? A whole bunch more.
Julio is a big play over the top guy. Mm-hmm. That's what outside, there are very few outside guys that normally lead the league in third down catches. That's normally reserved for the slot guy. Because guess what, Skip? When I played the slot, I was way high up on the list on third down conversions. Ta-da! But that's not what we're talking about.
Oh, so it's just like a gift?
No!
Don't play the slot and it's automatic.
No, everybody can't play that slot. Everybody can't be a slot machine.
Okay.
Because when you play the slot, you're a slot machine, you got to give them 3 cherries most times. Cha-ching! I'm coming up 7.
So you just compared yourself to a little tiny quarterback who was drafted in the 7th round who became a slot receiver. That's what you just compared. You weighed 250 pounds.
No, I didn't weigh no 250. I played at 220. That's neither here nor there.
Weighed 250 in the offseason. He weighed 228.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. What round was he drafted in?
Who?
Edelman.
7.
What round was I drafted in?
You.
What round was I drafted in?
7.
Okay. So shouldn't I?
Who's the more talented player, Sharp or Edelman? I'll take Shannon.
What I turned into be. He did what he did. Okay. But what am I going to do about these 5,000-yard passing season? Mm-hmm. The dude completed 72% of his passes last year. He's at 80 this year.
Okay.
8 out of 10 times when the ball leaves his hand, one of Drew Brees' receivers.
What does that have to do with 500 touchdown passes? Nothing.
Tom Brady's been in the league 19 years.
Yeah.
19. Drew, 18.
Drew, 515 more attempts. That's a lot more
Steve,
attempts.
Can you tell? Can you tell? Can you tell?
That's a season.
Can you
that's
tell,
like Skip, a whole season.
It
of
is.
Attempts.
Yeah. But can you tell Skip what a defense plays when you're constantly behind? When you got they're like 28th ranked scoring defense now. Do you know Drew Brees has had 10 defenses that's ranked worse than Tom Brady's ever? Mm. Tom Brady's defense has never been 17th or worse. Worse than 17th in scoring. Drew Brees has 10 of those.
Mm.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
And you wonder why he's throwing.
You certainly are going to get more opportunities. I just keep going back to the principle of Sean Payton wants to push it down the field. They
yes.
want to throw it more than New England wants to throw it.
And yeah.
That to me is the thing that differentiates the two. But
and, Shannon, if you're down 14, 17, 21, they just go bombs away, man.
Well, you got to. You can't shake the ball down.
All right. But a lot of touchdowns happen when you're way down.
A lot of interceptions happens, too. Okay. Hence, he's had 64 more than Tom Brady. Now, you can't just say, oh, you get an opportunity to throw more touchdowns, but you also get an opportunity to throw more picks. See, we didn't worry about that because we're going to run the Brock.
Well, Tom Brady was 10 down to Saxonville in the fourth quarter. Did he throw any picks?
What's 10 points?
Huh? Well, 10 down against that defense, that feels like 30.
What you calling me down? You remember Drew Brees was down to Minnesota? He was down 21
mm-hmm.
in the playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So come on, Skip.
Mm.
Look, like I said, this is a ton of bridges, a ton of feathers.
Mm.
But I'm going to take the
ton. You're saying it's 50-50?
Yeah, but both are impressive. Mm. Because I know what you want to do, but you can't do it. I know what you want to do. You want to add those postseason. He want to add that old thing.
I know, but you can't do it. So you started making an argument on my behalf that I didn't even dare to. I didn't even step across that line.
Because you can't.
No, I can.
No, you can't.
I would just devastate you if we start talking about the postseason. We're just doing regular season touchdown
passes. Okay, let me ask you a question. Right? So where do those postseason touchdowns go in the regular season? They don't. So you can't make that argument.
That's why we're just doing 500 to 500.
Drew Brees.
So what are you talking about? You're saying that I can't use my strength over here?
No, you can't use because that's not the argument.
Well, you're putting words in my mouth like I wanted to, but I didn't.
You did. Yeah, you did.
Did
yeah,
I?
Did
yeah, I bring, you brought it up.
No.
I didn't bring it up.
Did
I bring it up?
I know you. I know you, Skip Bayless.
You want to talk rings?
And every day.
Every day. Yeah. You want to
No.
Want to talk postseason touchdowns?
Drew Brees will get upset if you talk about rings because you know that big diamond that hubbub that's been going on.
You, I don't know.
I need you to skip.
I watch sports. That's all I watch.
Drew Brees is sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what are we watching?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's a good
you know
question.
What?
That's sometimes
Drew,
I wonder.
I got you, Drew.
Yeah. Mark.
And
yeah.
Tom
you.
Brady didn't come on our show. Here. Drew Brees came on our show.
You
get
welcome.
Tom to come on the show.
You know what? I would love to have Tom. In fact, I tried to get Tom Brady on the show. No.
Tom be hating.
He's too good for us.
What you mean he's too good for us?
He's in another realm.
There's no such thing.
He's in that realm above LeBron's realm.
Don't do that, Skip.
Right?
Nah.
Yes, he is.
No,
you have
no.
time to go
All
there.
Right.
Thanks again for being
here.
All right,
welcome.
The Ravens defensive coordinator had some very surprising things to say about Baker Mayfield today, and we'll tell you next. No mercy. Baker Mayfield has had an eventful start to his NFL career. He came off the bench to lead a comeback win over the Jets. Then he turned it over four times in an overtime loss to the Raiders. Yesterday, Hall of Famer Brett Favre had some very nice things to say about Baker. Let's take a listen.
I think he can be great. He's fun to watch. He's a playmaker. He's resilient. He's all those things. I tell you what, he's scrappy. And you know he's going to give you the best chance to win, and he's going to do it to the last whistle. The winners... they just have it. You know, some may call it cockiness. Some may call it overconfidence. Some may you call it whatever you want. But the winners have that little bit of air about them and how they carry themselves and then their playmaking ability. And just how, to me, equally as important is you just see a heightened enthusiasm when that player is in the game.
I like that word, scrappy. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I am going to give the floor to Skip, though, on this
first.
One. Sometimes I'm trying to win you over here. Do you agree with Favre?
I do. And there's part of that soundbite we didn't hear that he prefaced all this with. The guy who tipped him off to this thought was the great Ron Wolf, who built the original Packer team with Reggie White and brought Brett Favre from Atlanta that won a championship. And I know Ron Wolf, been around him. He was the greatest talent evaluator I was ever around. He really gets it. And what Brett said before what we heard was, he was talking the other day to Ron Wolf because they keep in touch, and that Ron told him that when you're picking a quarterback, you cannot underestimate the winner intangible, that most people, they look at the combine result, the pro day result, but you have to look, is the kid made of the right stuff, whatever that winner thing is. And Baker Mayfield has that in him. And I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's going to be Brett Favre, because Brett Favre was really good. And I'm not sure.
Three consecutive MVPs.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't think Baker is that gifted. I just don't. He's going to be really good, but is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I'm stopping short of that. But to Brett's point then, you have to look at what the intangibles are, because Baker plays on intangibles more than he plays on talent. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what he did at the University of Oklahoma in the 3 years he started there, he goes 34-6 as the starter. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Got them in the playoffs twice. Lost in the first round, but played very well in both games. And in those 3 years, they had awful defenses. Like, he was having to overcome, even in the final year, they ranked, I think, 56th overall in defense. They were not very good, as you know, because you were covering a lot of those games.
Yeah.
So he had to keep overcoming that. Mm-hmm. So I missed a little bit on Patrick Mahomes because I watched a lot of games at Tech. I didn't see this coming, and maybe he'll level out. Maybe right. He'll come back to earth a little bit. But the Mahomes I saw at Texas Tech, they didn't play any defense either.
Right.
But they went 13-19 with him as a starter. Well, I didn't see great intangibles. I didn't see him be able to lift a medium-talented team up to the top level of the Big 12, because they were not a top-level team. Look at his record against the top teams. It wasn't very good. He went 0-6 against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and then I can go down the line. Mm-hmm. So he didn't show me high winner, like contagious intangibles at Texas Tech. Well, right now, he's got weapons, he's got a coach who loves him, a dynamic offensive play caller, and so is he being lifted by all that? Well, obviously, the kid is extremely gifted, Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. is. Way more gifted to me than Baker Mayfield. But I still love Baker for what Brett Favre is talking about, which is that contagious, that rub-off effect. As he said, the heightened sense of enthusiasm you see when he just steps on the football field. Everybody's like, oh, we got this now, here we go. And you guys, as highly accomplished NFL players, can say, well, that only lasts so long in your league, and maybe that is true. But I still say it's an underestimated intangible that doesn't, like with Sam Darnold, I couldn't see any of that. I saw the pro day stuff. I saw the measurables, but in the immeasurables, I don't yet see it in Sam Darnold. So that's why I said I'll take Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm. For me, I agree with some of them, but for the most part, I'm going to say no. Because you know what confuses me is when they say, oh, he's a winner. Let me tell you who won a lot in college. Jamarcus Russell, he won a national championship.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez, Joy Harrington, Tim
out
Tebow.
On Jamarcus, I can go back and show you. We don't have time to do this. But every time LSU played Florida or Tennessee or some big game, he did not play well. And he was a big interception thrower, too. But go ahead.
But they won a lot. Yeah. Most of the quarterbacks in the NFL, yeah. They won a lot. Mm-hmm. It's very few quarterbacks, Skip, that lose, especially if they go to prominent programs yeah. like an Oklahoma, like a Florida, like a Tennessee. For the most part, they're so supremely talented. That's why Mahomes at Texas Tech couldn't be Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Texas Tech is not getting 4- and 5-star recruits. They mm-hmm. might get 2s and 3s,
yeah.
but the 4 and 5, if they're going to go somewhere, they're going to the bigger school. Mm-hmm. And it helps also if Todd Haley lets you push the ball down the field, like, you know, Baker comes in, he's throwing the ball down the field. They got Tyrod throwing jailbreak screens and swing routes out the backfield, mm-hmm. but that's neither here nor there.
He's a game manager, right?
Yeah, when the coach, that's all the coach lets you do. But anyway, here nor there, Skip Bayless.
Yep. Look,
I think Baker can be good. I don't see him as Patrick Mahomes because I don't see him having the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has.
I don't think he has the physical weapons that.
No, he can't throw. No, he's not
armed.
Not like that.
Okay.
He doesn't have the ability to throw the ball like this kid can. But yeah. I think Brett sees a lot of himself in Baker Mayfield, minus the kamikaze style,
yep.
and this is why he's heaping the praise and adulation. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with it, Skip. When we see someone like ourselves that's yeah. playing the game,
mm-hmm.
it's natural. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But, man, there's a lot of – there. I don't think anybody thought Brett Favre would be Brett Favre when he first started out, Skip. So it's hard to definitively say what a guy's going to be. Can we at least get, like, 4 or 5 games in?
Mm-hmm.
We saw a half. And we saw entire game. The half was great. The game, not so much. So man, we're just so quick to anoint somebody down.
Yeah, we always are. This day and age, we always see one big play and, wow, that guy's the next big thing, because we're always looking for that next big star. I do think Baker has a winning quality. Like Shannon said, I can't go off of what he did in college, though, because he had a great team around him. Yeah. And he doesn't have that great team in Cleveland.
He did not have a defense. He did not.
His defense was probably – his defense, I would say, was comparable to what Cleveland's been putting out there on the field as far as overall statistics.
Well, I would
have
argued
like
with you until this past Sunday.
Cleveland
when
looked
I was
great
like,
at one point.
Where did they go? I don't know where they went.
They disappeared. But I know Ron Wolf, and I know what he puts the value on. He drafted me in Atlanta as
well. Oh, did he?
Yeah. Ron,
well, he's a really
smart. And whenever I see Ron around, we always sit and talk about how he sees the game, how I see the game, how I see this player, how he sees this player. And it makes sense. I didn't know Ron had a part of getting Baker up, up there in Cleveland. And
not had a part of that. He was just telling Brett. That's why I love this kid is because he's got that winner.
I thought he was in the front office.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I need to see him do it on this level. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely what Shannon said, Brett sees himself in Baker Mayfield. He sees a kid who plays the game with such emotion and such passion and runs around and has so much fun, can go hang out with the DBs, can go hang out with the receivers, with the O-line, the D-line.
They
when
like
you're
it.
In a locker room,
like that.
Most
like
quarterbacks don't do that. Yep. They kind of stick to their, they're more of the pretty boys. They stay over here, nice,
hang out with the backup
guys.
Quarterback.
Yeah, they're not the ones going out, hanging out, having beer with you. And when you run across a guy like that, it just brings you in. You want to play for him. You want to see him do well. And I just really think that's what it comes down to. Baker is a guy who you can genuinely sit down with and have a conversation with, because he wasn't a golden boy. He was a walk-on. He had to fight and claw his way, into the national spotlight. Mm-hmm. And so that resonates with a lot of guys, because for the majority of the guys in the National Football League, we don't play those positions that gets the limelight. And for a quarterback to get the limelight but still feel like one of the guys, you never run across that. That's what makes Baker, I think, a little bit different than that winner stigma gets thrown on him.
I think that's what made John Elway so special in our eyes, Skip, because he was a guy who he was. But in training camp, we're playing cards, we're rolling dice, we're having a good time laughing and talking. And he come in there and he rolled dice, played cards with us. In training camp, he's like, okay, what are you guys doing tonight? We get a night off. He come hang with us. We shooting basket, poppy shot, and he does that with us. So now we're looking at him like, he could be standing doing his own thing. He with us. Or he's married, got four kids. We go out. Hey, I'll be there for a minute. He come hang out with us. So that does play a lot, because you don't want the quarterback. Yeah, you're the face of the franchise, and they treat you differently. But we don't want you to act different. They might treat you differently, but you better act like the rest of us.
Okay. What is Baker Mayfield made of? What do we see at the University of Oklahoma? He played, I thought, the best regular season game of the year a year ago was at Ohio State. And then what did he do? Took the flag and went to the middle of the field and stuck it in the ground. Did you love that? Did a lot of people, is that role model quality?
As
nope,
a teammate,
it's not.
I loved it.
Okay, that's bingo. And then he gets mad at the worst team in the Big 12, the Kansas Jayhawks, because they disrespected him during the coin toss. Yep. Somebody said something to him.
He wouldn't shake his hand. Remember, he tried to shake his hand.
And there were words exchanged, too. And he's like, he's grabbing his crotch to say, okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Role model? No.
Right.
But do the NFL people say, aha, I kind of like that? Would teammates like that? Yeah, they did, right? And then what do you do before their biggest game of the year against TCU? One of the TCU kids dared to run across the back line while he was warming up on their end of the field. He just drills the TCU player in the helmet with the football. It was a good throw, too. Caught him right in the helmet. Okay, again, he's got some stuff to his game. That's what he's made of. He's going to be combative. He's going to be feisty. He's going to, if you want to go fight after the game, he'll go fight you after the game. He's that kind of kid. Okay, do you like that? You want to play with that?
I do. Like Phillip Rivers a little bit. How Phillip Rivers, you're not used to seeing quarterbacks jaw back and forth.
Yeah.
And I remember playing against Phillip. We came out together, and he was always a talker. And I'm like, man, what is this dude from NC State doing all this talking? Yeah. But he kept doing it. And guys on his team loved and respected him
for
doing that.
Would he talk to you?
Yeah, he would talk to anybody. Yeah. He didn't care. He did not care. From the sideline to the other, you know, you could be on the bench sitting there watching in the preseason and Phillips jawing from sideline to sideline. Like, it was something I had never seen from the quarterback position before. But guys on his team, like I was saying, they love that about Phillip. You as an opponent, you hate it because you want to get that. You want to get him. You want to hit him. You want to hurt him.
Yeah, you're doing it on the top because you protect him.
You love him. Yeah, when you're playing with him, no, you love him. And that's kind of how Baker is. If you're an opponent, you hate him. You want to go. You want to hit him. You want to try to get to him, sack him, whatever, pick him off. But when you're on his team, it ain't nothing you wouldn't do for that dude.
Yep.
Okay. That's some intangible I can't measure.
Okay? measure it, though.
Is he 6 feet and a half inch tall? Yeah. Is he a little, like a little stocky built? You know, like, I don't think he has a great body exactly, but can he escape in the pocket? Yep, he can do that. Can he make plays? Yep. I still think he has a whip of an arm. It's not Dan Marino's arm, and it's not Patrick Mahomes' arm, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Got to get him some. I mean, they got some. We'll see. They have Landry. They have Callaway. They got good running backs. Yeah. So we'll see. And Joku.
Wish he had Josh Gordon. That's a whole other story.
Skip. Huh? He had him. Josh is gone now. You know what? You always want something that's always gone. You know what? At first, you didn't want Dez. Now you're talking about looking at what we got. I think Dez might be pretty good. Now you want Dez back.
Put the even in front. Even Dez would be better than what I
had.
Yeah,
I'm right?
That's not saying.
Why you always do that? You had him. You didn't want him.
I didn't.
The guy always wants the girl once she's gone.
Yeah, but he's desperate. Said that all day yesterday. Yeah. Desperate times, desperate measures. Mm.
We got the championship of Texas on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Right?
Bragging
right.
That ain't no championship.
Yeah.
Come on, Texas.
It is.
It's a big weekend in Texas for you guys.
Mm. Can we get a case to do on it?
Probably. I'm a little shakier on this.
What do you mean, probably?
I loved my chances against
Okay, Detroit, where they go? Put the
and
do
it still
up.
Went to the last play of the game.
Go ahead and put the do.
Well, it's on. It's on.
What to do.
Yeah, because in the end, if Dak has to throw it to Zeke, he will throw it to Zeke, and the game will be over.
You're going
to
take
Thank
one play. He made one over-the-shoulder catch in 3 years.
But wouldn't it – it was the play of the year in pro football.
I wouldn't
it
go
was.
That far.
It was.
You see what he's talking about?
No,
play
no, think about it. You don't have any receivers, and finally, you're like a two-man offensive team, and the two just say, okay, let's just end this thing right here. I'll go line up as a wideout. I'll go line up in the slot, and I'll run a go route, and you throw it over my shoulder, and I'll catch it, and the game will be over. Am I right?
See what I'm saying? No.
No. A good play.
That's a play. Come on. That's a play.
It ain't the play of the year.
Well, given the degree of difficulty, come on.
It's a routine play.
It's routine for a running back to make that catch it.
If you say he got hands like Le'Veon and Gurley.
I told you he's got better hands than Le'Veon.
You hear that?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Well, you saw it.
I saw a great throw.
He made a great
catch.
Play.
Huh? Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, overall, I mean, Kamara moved up.
Remember, it came to that. That's all I got.
And that's what I'm trying to tell
right?
you. It took a historic performance from Zeke, and you kicked the game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good about that?
Nope, I don't, honestly.
Let's see if he does it again. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Yep. D'Angelo, thanks for being here. You're going to be back a little bit later. But someone who's not afraid to speak his mind, Aaron Rodgers. Is everything okay
here we
with
go
he
again.
And his head coach?
Yep.
We'll discuss next. No mercy. Jags coach Doug Marrone, who joined the parade of fans ready to put Pat Mahomes in the Hall of Fame after 4 games. The Jags coach called Mahomes a, quote, MVP quarterback, added, right now he is playing better than any quarterback who has ever played. Hall of Fame GM Bill Polian added to the Mahomes hype, calling him a mix of Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre. Mahomes and the undefeated Chiefs host Jacksonville on Sunday. Shannon, are you buying the Mahomes hype and praise?
I'm buying some of it.
Okay.
Doug Marrone is 54 years of age, so he's old enough to have remembered Dan Marino's 84 season. Mm-hmm. He's old enough to remember Tom Brady's 2007 season, Skip, Aaron Rodgers' 2011, Peyton Manning's 2013.
Mm.
Those were some of the greatest seasons statistically a quarterback's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons, mm-hmm. not 4 games.
Mm. Yeah.
Those are 16-game seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Marrone's talking about 4 games. Now, I get some of the praise that Bill Polian, because I said this after the game on Tuesday. You see a lot of Aaron Rodgers, his ability to roll from the pocket,
mm-hmm.
left or right, throw the ball with accuracy, velocity. And then we do see some Brett Favre, Skip. The scrambling when he changes the ball, mm-hmm. that's some Brett Favre-ish mm-hmm. that we would see from Brett Favre.
Okay.
Now, he's not the kamikaze style, because you know Brett would go head over heels or to try to get a first down. We haven't seen that from Pat Mahomes, Hopefully we don't, because that took a toll on Brett's body.
Yep.
But I see some of the similarities. But Skip, not only do I need to see more, I need to see more of it before I say this is the great season or greatest of all. I just named 4 or 5, Skip. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there have been some great seasons that I probably left out. Mm-hmm. But this is 4 games. Can we slow down just a little? Mm-hmm. It looks like this kid has a great trajectory. Andy Reid's going to be there. The skilled position players are going to be around him. And guess what? His defense isn't that good. And like you just made the argument that Drew Brees, he's going to be in a lot of shootouts. And he's going to put up some numbers.
Yep.
But Doug Marrone, I get it. You're playing this guy. But the hyperbole, why can't we just say, man, this dude is off to an unbelievable start? I don't know if we've seen a quarterback start a career like what we've seen here. Mm-hmm. But after 4 games, jump to the greatest season? Come on now.
We're just saying no quarterback's ever played better than he's playing right now.
He said, that's only 4 games.
Yeah.
Can we check back 12 games later?
That would be a nice thing to
do.
That would be fair.
Yes.
And by the way, I know it was just check down Alex Smith, as you call him.
Yeah.
They jumped out 5-0 last year, and they finished 10-6, and they lost a wild card team game to Tennessee, right?
After being up.
And you remember the classic 2013 season, Alex Smith's first year with Andy Reid, and they jump out 9-0. I know it was just Alex Smith, but Alex Smith's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then what happened to Kansas City? They fell back to 11-5, and then they had that debacle disaster game at Andrew Luck. Remember, mm-hmm. they're up 38-10 at Indy, and they end up losing 45-44 to Andrew Luck when he sort of threw his way out of the hole he dug for them with
exactly.
his interception, right?
Yep.
Okay, but it's been the history of Andy Reid teams.
Whew,
quick start, because he's the offensive genius. He's got lots of tricks up his sleeves. And then all of a sudden, people start saying, oh, well, they're doing this now, but we could do that to counterattack. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they start getting beat up and beat down because they're never a very physical football team, mm-hmm. especially on defense. And then things start going wrong. And as hot as they were last year, they went to Jerry World for that game, and that's when my Cowboys weren't very good, and my Cowboys just dismantled them. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Okay, and then they just fizzled out. And I'm not saying they're going to fizzle out, but that's been the history of Andy Reid teams.
Right.
So let's factor that in. Could this kid be all-time great? Yes, he could.
Yes.
He has shown flashes
yes.
of all-time greatness.
Right.
But the other night, through 3 quarters, he wasn't very good. He was 15 of 29. Barely over 50% for 151 yards. And then in the fourth quarter, he threw for 153 yards.
Yeah.
So he threw for more yards in the fourth quarter than he'd thrown for in the first 3 quarters.
Right.
And what did it do to his QBR? It sank it a little bit, because it looked like he deserved a 95 or whatever, and he had an 84 because it factors in the whole game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many times the other night? I counted 3 times. When he scrambled and flung it, just flung it, and he had he's on a magic carpet ride right now, and we see it happen for X number of games for kids where they don't know what they don't know, so they have no negative thoughts. He's got 0 negative thoughts, mm-hmm. so he flings it with such confidence that unfortunately for the opposition, they don't catch it.
Right.
There were balls that could have been intercepted.
Yeah. Especially that one that got popped up by Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And they don't get intercepted because he's still sitting on 14 touchdowns to 0 interceptions.
I've said Doug Marrone is 54 years old.
Okay.
Through the first 3 games, the quarterback that had the greatest season ever? Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm.
Because no quarterback in the history of the game had 3 consecutive 400-yard games passing.
Okay.
That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick had.
Okay.
And guess what happened the next game, Skip? It was halfway through, he was on the bench. So can we just slow down? I ain't saying bring the train to a stop.
Yeah.
But can we slow down because we're going too fast on these tracks?
Yeah. Okay. And I know Bill Polian from my days at ESPN, and we used to do battle on the show I did on ESPN, and we used to go back and forth. We start out on Tim Tebow. He told me early that year in 2011, Tim Tebow should be a running back. He said he's John Riggins. Remember John Riggins?
Yeah, John Riggins, I remember.
Big old tough white boy, right?
Yep.
Just big old strong. What would he go, 240
running
maybe?
240, 245.
Yeah, right, somewhere in there. And he could just carry the mail, man. And he could run. He was I think he ran track in high school,
yeah.
so he was a big, fast
mm-hmm.
white boy. But he says, Tim Tebow's John Riggins. I kept saying, well, he's better than that because he can actually play quarterback. And then he just kept winning game after game after game. So whatever. And we know what happened in 2011. They won the division. They won a playoff game.
Backed into it.
Yeah, they backed into the division. I don't know how they did it.
You do know how they did it. Matt Prater kicking 68-yard field goal. An eagle come flying over the stadium, landing on the flagpole at 12:15 a.m. A lot of things went right.
Demaryius Thomas, overtime, Steelers, touchdown, game over. Tebow did it again.
Yeah, wow. Then we go to New England, and they get the brakes beat off.
Well, everybody got their brakes beat off in New England. But the point was, okay, so Bill Polian is going all the way to Brett Favre and Dan Marino. I got to tell you, I'm doing my eye test. Mm-hmm. When they were in their younger days, Brett Favre and Dan Marino, and you talk about the 84 season or any Brett Favre season in the first five, this is just my eye test, stronger arm than this kid has. They had rocket arms. Like Brett Favre could throw it through a brick wall. Mm-hmm. He was country boy strong and could just fling it. He could throw it as far and harder than Pat Mahomes can throw it. And Dan Marino had a rifle.
Oh, yeah.
And don't tell me that this kid's release is quicker than Marino's.
No, it's not
just
even close.
Not.
It's not even close.
Come on, now that's just hyperbole. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, that's revisionist history.
Yes.
That's just leaping on the bandwagon. How fast can I say he's a Hall of Famer?
Right.
Okay, through four games, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, if you had to vote on Pat Mahomes as a Hall of Famer right here, right now, he would get in.
Yeah.
He's in through four games.
Yeah.
But like you say, how many years did you play? 14 years. So after four games, did we put Shannon Sharpe in the Hall of Fame?
No.
I think not.
No.
Okay.
Sharpe didn't have. I don't even think I had a catch after four games.
Really?
But that's the thing.
There we go.
But that's the thing, though, Skip, is that can we just? I'm not saying stop the train, but just slow it down.
Okay.
I mean,
slow it down. But look, what is Doug Marrone? What is his job this week? It's to overhype Pat Mahomes,
right, for sure,
so that he can maybe create more pressure on the kid, so that the kid will try things he shouldn't try against the Jacksonville defense?
I guarantee that's not what he's telling his team in meetings, that his kid is on a magic carpet ride and he's the greatest season ever.
Okay.
He's like, we're going to kick his butt and this is what we
can. And what did they always say? Because I covered a lot of teams that played Brett Favre in his prime, and the pregame mantra was always, he will throw you two or three, but you have to catch them.
Make sure you catch them.
Because he throws them so hard, you better be ready for them.
Yes.
So now that's going to be the new book on Patrick Mahomes,
right,
is get ready because he's going to throw you two or three. You just have to catch them.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Okay? So talking about revisionist history, is Doug Marrone old enough to remember last year's AFC Championship game? I think he is because he's 54 and he was only probably 53 then, I guess, right? What happened in the fourth quarter of that game to his vaunted Jacksonville-Saxonville defense? Tom Brady went 13 of 15 for 138 yards in the fourth quarter and two touchdowns and brought them from 20 to 10 back. Was that not greatness?
Yeah, but this is...
Seriously, greatness.
But you know, this is the same Doug Marrone that's never watched the Super Bowl. So you can understand why he might have forgotten some of those seasons
that,
or even last year's Super Bowl.
Maybe he forgot last year's AFC Championship game. Because that guy in New England, if you want to talk about playing the greatest quarterback ever, I promise you, if you go take the film of the fourth quarter of that game, you would say, that's about as good as it gets. Seriously. And he only played with 12 stitches in his... Palm was throwing him, but that's okay.
Somehow
that's
you managed to work that in there, but it's neither here nor there. But here's
found
the
a
thing.
Way.
After let's see, you got 12 more regular season games. We'll look back and we'll see where this season ranked.
Okay.
Amongst the all-time greats.
We might be able to look back this coming Monday and see
right.
where it ranks. Right.
We'll see. Yeah. Exactly.
This is not easy. What he's about to do.
Is the magic carpet ride going to continue? I do like that you keep saying that, though. I hope so, and I hope he's not listening, and I hope he's not paying attention to
that. I know who you wish was on the magic carpet ride, don't you, Skip Bayless?
The guy who was on it for a whole year?
We don't do the past.
Oh, we don't.
We update resumes here, Skip Bayless. Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
We'll get there later, Shannon. Yeah. We'll get there later. Okay, next, though, is LeBron the best leader in the NBA? The best leader? The GMs say yes. I've got a feeling. Skip and Shannon, they might not agree. That's next. No
mercy. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Undisputed podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Jenny Taft. Undisputed is back at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then. Facts, sports, one of one.